Let's do it live. From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan or on demand as a podcast. It's Tuesday, November 7th, 2023. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Salamat for joining the conversation. On today's show, a look ahead to next week's Mud Rooms, seven storytellers who share seven-minute stories and raise money for local nonprofits. We'll chat with Juno Ghostlight Theater about this Saturday's Wish Come True cabaret concert, and we'll preview tomorrow night's Displaced, which is eight storytellers, poets, and musicians on diaspora, displacement, and identity. Those conversations, music, and more coming up this hour on a Juno Afternoon.
Hansen Gress, Ka eat with the Shu Yi, we Kashuk a yitin. Jin Katka ke jin talk, anakaya ha anikak, gunish cheese.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Ock Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. On the second Tuesday of every month during winter, something magical happens at a downtown Juno church. Seven people stand up in front of a group and tell uniquely personal stories, which are 7 minutes long. It's seven stories, 7 minutes each. 7 minutes each for $7, and all of the money raised is donated to charity. It's called Mud Rooms, and here to tell us about it more and preview next week's edition are board members Kristen Rankin and Skylar Bear. Gunna cheese, hot ye adi for you both being here. How are you?
Gunna cheese, hello. Good to be here.
So good to have you all in the house. Mud Rooms, tell us a little bit about Mud Rooms for those who may not be familiar. Let's just reacquaint ourselves with the whole idea. I gave a little bit about it in the intro, but what is it? When did it start? And why do we do it?
Absolutely. We are 12-ish seasons in, I say ish, due to COVID.
Right.
So we have been in Juno for over 12 years. And as you said, these are local community members telling true personal stories about themselves. There are many ways to tell stories. This is just one in Juno, one way to do so. And we're so excited to be able to now, going on 12, 13 years, bring that again this season. And it's a wonderful live event that covers a theme each month. And as you said, has seven storytellers telling 7 minute stories.
That's amazing. It's a wonderful thing. I did it a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And it is, it's an interesting thing to like tell a personal story in front of a big group that of some folks that maybe you don't know. Right.
Absolutely. It's a really personal and vulnerable thing. It's different than being on stage in other capacities because you're sharing your life and your experiences. But that's what makes it so wonderful. That's what makes it so powerful. And it feels great to share that with the community. And it's great to connect with what ends up just being human experiences and emotions that we all share.
Yeah. 7 minutes, seven people, $7, and it all goes to charity, which is so cool. Mm-hmm. And it does run through the winter, right? Is that this basically the seasons are done from what to what?
This year we started in September and we have a show a month through March.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. All right. And you said that each month is themed.
Mm-hmm.
How do you all decide on the themes? Is it based upon what's going on in the world, or is it just like things that might be good prompts? What do you think, Skylar?
Well, I'm a pretty new member of the board as of, I think, the August meeting. Mm-hmm. And
yoo-hoo!
I think the board came up at that meeting, or maybe the previous meeting earlier in the summer, with a list of ideas based on, I think, what would be a good prompt. Actually, this season, I feel like the themes kind of tell a story, because we have sourdough and then Plan B and then growing pain, which is this month's. Changing your mind is December's theme. January is what the hell am I doing? February is stepping in it. But then March is stars aligned. So
got a whole arc there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you, Kristen, do you all like have board meetings during the summer and sit around with bread and wine and try to figure out what these topics are going to be about?
We have done that. We do tend to take a summer break, but what we also do in the spring is we solicit ideas from the audience, from social media. So we want to hear your ideas. Mm-hmm. We want, whether it's on social media or on mudrooms.org, we want to hear your theme ideas that we'll plug in to future years. But yes, we take a look at everyone's ideas and just kind of whittle down over bread and wine what will be
the theme. That's so good. Good. And you, we also, I want to mention the charities that, so nobody's making money on this. It's all going to charity. And sometimes you have season charities, and then sometimes you have individual charities depending upon the month and whatnot. So who do we have for next Tuesday's, or is it a season long thing this year?
Next Tuesday will be the last month for which Cancer Connection is the charity that we are, that proceeds will go to. And so they're an Alaska-based organization that supports those going through cancer right now. I'm not an expert to go into exactly what they do, but I know it involves a range of supports for those in isolated communities and
Oh, absolutely. Cancer like Connection's been on the show many times.
Know.
And they
you know better than I do.
They do great work, and they offer support in all kinds of ways to those afflicted, as well as those who are supporting those afflicted. So I think that's a really great charity. And then, do we have other charities that we want to shout out for the remainder of the year? Do we know who those are at this moment? Sorry to put you on the spot.
I know. Off the top of my head, let me pull it up real quick.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I know we have the Juno Montessori School is coming up next. And then after that, we've got Zach Gordon.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay, some nice children's youth services there that will get some support from this. And we know that it's the second Tuesday of every month. Mm-hmm. And where does it take place and what time?
It is at Kunehibi Northern Light Church in the Flats at 7 p.m.
At 7 p.m., okay.
So this coming Tuesday.
It would be weird if it was at 8 p.m. when you know, it's seven stories, seven people, seven bucks, right?
We've got a brand. We like to stick to it.
And where did that come from, that idea of 7 minutes? Where did that happen? Was that something that was modeled after a national thing, or did you all just decide that was enough time, or how did that start?
You know, I actually do not know. We need Alita Buss, who started Mudrooms here to share that. I know that we followed the model of Arctic Entries up north. We followed their model. And how we landed exactly on that 7, I am not sure.
No worries. Mm. It's okay. It's a good amount of time, I think. I mean, I think it's because the other thing that I think that's interesting, and this is what we're going to talk about too, is helping people to craft these stories, right?
Yes.
So like, because one of the things that's also can be scary is that people aren't allowed to have notes up there. Uh-huh. So you have to prep your story, and then you have to go up there and you tell it. What it leads to, too, is when people go off script a little bit, or if they forget what they're supposed to say, the audience is really supportive, and or they find something new to say in the moment, right?
Right.
So that's really kind of great.
Yeah. And I'm just going to say this as someone who's done a lot of storytelling, like for the last 10 years, storytelling audiences are one of the most supportive audiences you can ever go up in front of because they want to hear your story. They want to support you. They want to experience what you experienced. So it's not like, I don't know. I know some comedy shows, people are like, oh, is this person actually really funny? But it's not that kind of show. It's not that kind of thing. The audience is really there to be with you. And then a thing that I often tell storytellers, because I've done a lot of coaching and workshopping, is no one knows your life like you do. So if you forget to say something, no one's really going to know that you forgot to say something because they don't know your life like you do. I mean, your coach might know, but they don't. They're just there to support you anyway. So
right,
it's a very forgiving, you know, format and venue and audience.
That's great. So what's Tuesday's theme?
Growing pains or growing pain.
Growing.
We're going with both of them.
I like the singular.
Yes.
As opposed to the plural. Because
see, I like the plural.
The plural's good. But there is something interesting about the idea of the singular there, growing pain. Like, what is that? Like, uh-huh. I don't know. That's what's so great is because people interpret the theme so differently. And everybody comes up with a different avenue to explore that particular theme, which is so cool.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think what you end up getting is that if you're in the audience, you end up deeply connecting to at least one, if not multiple, that with a theme like that, there's something in there that just gets you. And you're like, yes, I've been there.
Yes, I know.
That sounds right.
Universal human condition, right? Uh-huh. I mean, that is one thing of, you know, gathering at the church and sort of hearing these stories and everybody coming together and recognizing that we're not alone in some of these things. And then also just the humor that a lot of people have and how funny our lives can be. And if we can look at that a little bit, and that's kind of cool. So it is nice to see that Mudrooms is back after COVID. I think you guys started last year again, and took that couple, however long off that was, that time period we don't remember anymore. Made time useless, basically. But it's nice to have it back. And so you're probably, you know, in need of storytellers, right? You need people to sign up. Yeah.
Yeah. And this might be a good time to bring up the fact that we're offering workshops.
Oh, great.
This season, because, well, I'm leading them with Kristen, but I have a lot of experience in teaching and coaching people how to tell stories from work as a story collider producer and also as a professor when I taught science communication. And so we had our first workshop last month, and our next one just got scheduled for December 10th. It is also at the church from 3 to 5 p.m. The forum should be on the website soon for signing up, although you could probably just show up and that would be perfectly fine. So we are trying to help people gain more confidence in telling a story through these workshops. And if you come to the workshop and you want to tell a story, that's not it. You can get a coach, and you can get a coach without going to the workshop too. And that can be really, really helpful for people to feel ready and to tell the best version of their story at the shows.
Because some people I know, Skylar, they feel like, oh, I have this tale, but I have no idea how to begin, or I don't understand like the structure. And so in the workshops, do you go over sort of like the idea of sort of beginning, middle, and end, and like just the basic structure of how to start the start? Because I think that's what gets people is it always seems to me the start and the finish, right?
Yeah.
It seems to be those are the hard parts.
I'll tell you, the key to that is actually starting in the middle. and working your way back, because the middle is really where the most important stuff happens. And when you've sort of actually thought through that and had to reflect on it and write a bunch of stuff about it, it helps you figure out where you want to begin and end based on what's the most important part of that story. But until you've really dug into the meat of your story, it's really hard to start and end. So that's some free advice on air.
Isn't the workshop free too?
The workshop is also
it is also free, although you have to show up in person.
Right.
But we work on that stuff and really try to help people, you know, get their thoughts out and their feelings, which is really important in storytelling, is sharing your feelings as well as some of the details of the events that have actually happened, so that we can be there in the mind movie or whatever, you know, that you have of the event. So
that's really cool. And so are we looking for, how do we sign up? Mm-hmm. How do we, we're looking for people for when? For next month? And because this month you have everybody.
We actually need one more.
Oh, you need somebody for this week.
So if someone would like to tell a growing pain story, we would love to hear from them.
Great.
But the rest of the months, yes, still looking for storytellers. If you go to mudrooms.org, there is a tab that says sign up. And there's just a short little form that you sign up, and we will reach out to you from there.
That sounds so good. And where, I know, Skylar, you mentioned Story Collider in what you were just talking about. Is there places that people can find inspiration or other resources to think about storytelling, like listening to others? I know that we play Mudrooms usually at the end of the month, a couple weeks after the event happens on a Monday night. So you can listen to those. But where else can we get?
So our website actually has an archives page, and you can listen to basically every story that's ever been told at a Mudrooms, barring any technical difficulties. But so you can listen to those. You know, The Moth is a big storytelling like program. It's more than a program, but they, on their website, they have tons of stories. Story Collider has tons of podcasts. There's probably a bunch of other podcasts and web pages.
And we have a podcast as well.
Yes.
So Mudrooms also has a podcast, which same stories that you can access on our archives. But if you are one to subscribe to podcasts through whatever app you use, subscribe to the Mudrooms podcast.
As we like to say, in your podcast catcher of choice.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So you can subscribe to Mudrooms. So that way, if you're not even interested in maybe telling a story, but you like to listen to the stories and you can't make it, obviously it's really nice to show up in person, donate those $7, help out a charity, and also, you know, commune with people and hear these stories in person. And that is that's one way to go. But if you can't do that, podcast is a good way to go. It's good to have that and get inspiration that way too, right? In terms of like finding those things. And The Moth is also a podcast, right? So you can look that up. That's so good. And there's some great topics coming up this year, it sounds like. And I'm sure we'll have you back on as the months go by to preview those particular ones. And maybe even sometime we might be able to play one of the stories, which I think would be kind of cool.
Yes.
If somebody was open, you know, the person who told the story, if they were open for that, I think that would be cool. Just to, or even a section of it, just to preview that here on the show and get people inspired for the event.
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
So that's kind of cool. So remind us, Kristen, of all the details for next week, where it is, what time, all that good stuff.
Yes, Mudrooms is next Tuesday, the 14th at 7 p.m. at Kuneahiti Northern Light Church. $7 at the door, which goes to Cancer Connection.
That's great. Well, it was a pleasure to have you both in today. Is there anything else that we forgot to mention?
The musician.
Oh, yes. Dara Relatus. I hope I pronounced that last name well. She will be our musician. So we have a live musician who is also contributing their time each month. And it ranges across the board. I think we probably have the marimbas next month, but Dara is this month, and we're really excited to have her wonderful music.
So come to
hear her as well.
And that the musician plays between the stories?
They open up the event while people are still sitting down and finding their seats. They open up the event, and then we've got an intermission, and they will play during the intermission.
I see.
And it's a really nice way to not only hear some community stories, but also get some wonderful live music.
That, and is a musician change every month?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. So, really cool. And we recruit for those musicians as well. I think we might be full up this season, but if you are interested in playing for Mudrooms, same place on mudrooms.org. The sign up also allows for musicians.
That's
awesome. I'd love
to
hear from you.
Kristen and Skylar, thanks so much for coming in. Gunath Cheesh. And all information at mudrooms.org. Appreciate
y'all. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Up next, a look ahead to Saturday's cabaret concert, 11-11, Wish Come True from Juno Ghost Light Theater. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Step in to the savory moment. When was the last time you ate a really good sea urchin tostada? You know, the kind where the briny, buttery roe is placed on a bed of raw albacore and spicy pine nut salsa and a crunchy tortilla? If you answered never, you are not alone. Which is exactly why cookbooks like Wesley Avila's Gorilla Tacos, Recipes from the Streets of LA, thrill us. We get to imagine eating things we've never dreamed of. Maybe from there we flip the page to something more traditional, more middle America. An octopus and chorizo taco, say, or a turkey neck burrito. But if you're determined to answer just yesterday to the question about when you last enjoyed an urchin tostada, you'll need to get your hands on this seafood delicacy. Sea urchins are a spiny marine invertebrate harvested for their salty, sweet, melt-in-your-mouth sex glands, also known as uni. In North America, purple urchins are taken from the Pacific coast between Alaska and California, while the green variety hails from Maine and the Canadian Maritimes. If you're lucky enough to acquire a whole urchin, spiny shell and all, here are some tips from Wesley Avila for removing the uni. First, wear gloves. Those spines are sharp. Lay the urchin on a dish towel, spines down, and crack open the shell by leveraging two spoons. Gently scrape the uni away from the shell. There should be five tongue-like portions inside, and place them in a nice water bath to remove impurities. Then, open Gorilla Tacos to page 155 and turn that dream into a reality. Find the full recipe for Gorilla Tacos, Tuna Poke, and Sea Urchin Tostada at savorymoment.org. From the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, I'm Beth Short Rhodes. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akwan. The Glenadee have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot, once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages, and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations.
Above you, night breezes seem to whisper, I love you. Birds singing in the sycamore tree, dream a little dream of me.
Yes, dreams do come true. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. This Saturday night, wishes, dreaming, love, and longing will be represented via Juno Ghostlight Theater's 1111 Wish Come True Cabaret, happening at the Crystal Saloon. There will be two shows that night, and all proceeds go to support upcoming theater productions from Juno Ghostlight Theater. And here to tell us all about it are the event producers for this cabaret, Richard Carter and Wendy Burns. Gunath Cheesh for you both being here today. Hi.
Gunath Cheesh. Hey, Boston, it's great to be back in the studio with you. It's been a while.
Absolutely. It's been a while. It's good. We've had Juno Ghostlight in a little bit, but not you, because you're on the board, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also, Vice President and Secretary representing here.
Here we are.
Here we are. And Wendy, how are you involved? Are you also on the board?
I am on the board. I'm Secretary of JGLT's board. I also am performing in this production.
And, oh, nice.
Yeah, helping with some of the logistical coordination of putting together this cool event.
Okay, so let's talk about this. How did the Wish Come True Cabaret, and I like the actual date in the title, 11-11, right?
Yeah.
How did this come about? Where did the idea come from? And yeah, what happened with that?
I mean, it's maybe not the most exciting story, but just practically speaking, you know, we've partnered with the Crystal Saloon on several cabaret-like events over the last year, 2 years, maybe
pretty
even
much as long as
longer than that.
In business.
Yeah. And, you know, we were looking at the calendar and they said, well, what about November 11th? And we were like, 11-11. 11-11, make a wish, wish come true. It's a special time of just stepping back and realizing that, you know, it's just a special moment. I don't know. It was just, and we were like, well, let's build a show around
it. It sounds like,
I think also considering like what fun and kind of whimsical and luck can we try to bring to this dark season?
Yeah,
oh,
it's getting dark.
Yeah. As we enter the winter months, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I was thinking, too, there's like that new movie coming out that's called Wish. And for some reason, this kind of just feels like the season of wishing. Mm. So, yeah, that's what we leaned into.
Nice.
And there's definitely no shortage of beautiful cabaret worthy music of wishing, dreaming, loving, longing, desire. All those good things.
All that good stuff.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about who's going to be performing on Saturday.
Well, both of us will be there, yours truly. We'll be bringing part of the set list to you. We also have the musical talents of Stephen Ahrens, who, if you went to the Juno Symphony's Candide a few weeks ago, you may have heard him singing as Maximilian. He's amazing. And Jack Schultz, who is another amazing artist around the community, who also I know will be in an upcoming production of Nice Indian Boy while
Jack
we're plugging
will be
all
on
our
the
artists.
Show next Tuesday to talk about a Nice Indian Boy. It's amazing that Jack's able to get out of rehearsal to do this, right? So that's great.
Really, just goes to show how much talent we have and how invested our artists are.
Yeah.
And we also have Andrea Budbill joining us, who sang on our Tony's night, if you were there last June, who's also just someone we're so excited to be able to welcome back to the stage and work with a little bit more. So all local crowd, just five of us. Really, I would like to also plug one of the only Juno events that you can probably find a male-dominated group of singers who are all truly incredible, bringing their stylings to the stage.
And then you also have Rob, right?
Yeah, Rob Cohen on the keys accompanying us.
Right, okay. So how much time goes into putting this cabaret together? Are you practicing on your own and then getting together with Rob and then getting all together? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, we started putting this together a little over a month ago, I would say. And we reach out to artists directly that we want to work with. And because the show is themed, people can't always just bring whatever's in their back pocket with them. So they kind of have to reach out and think like, okay, well, what would be interesting? So there's a bit of learning new music involved, of course. People rehearse on their own. We schedule rehearsals with Rob. And because this is a smaller cast for a cabaret, there are more duets, more harmonies, more group number moments. And so we're working together outside of rehearsals with Rob as well as with him in his studio. And but really, we know that all of these artists are professionals and experienced, and they're going to put in the work on their own, and they're going to show up, and they're going to absolutely kill it. So
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. And are we able to say maybe a couple of the tunes that you might be singing?
Yeah, well,
don't want to give away any surprises, but
folks might have heard one that introed us to this spot here. Louis Armstrong, Ella Fitzgerald, Dream a Little Dream of Me. So there are some classics. There are contemporaries. There's Broadway musicals. It's really a good mix.
Oh, nice. Okay. And there's two shows on Saturday.
Yes, there are two shows at 7:30 and at 10.
Okay, great. So if you're an early cast, early type person or a late night, does the program change? Do I want to go to both or is it the same program?
There will be just maybe one moment of a program change in the late show, but the set list will be the same.
Basically, okay, yeah.
Yeah, of course you want to come to both.
Because you love us.
And listen to it all over again because, you know, while they are the same songs, it's live and you never know what's going to happen, so.
That's so good. It's really good. And is this because Juno Ghostlight Theater has done all sorts of things. You've done plays, you've done radio plays, you've done various different things. You've done these cabarets now. Is it fun to sort of explore all the different mediums of performance in that way?
Absolutely. And I think one of the cool things about these cabarets too, is it gives us an opportunity to include a lot of artists around the community. People who do all different types of music kind of come out to sing on our cabarets, which you can definitely hear on this program, like Richard said. And also it gives us an opportunity to both raise money for, but plug and share a little bit about our other upcoming productions.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's talk about that a little bit because I love this musical that you guys are going to be doing. When is it happening and what's it called?
Yeah, so the anticipated opening night is March 8th, I believe. Do I have that right?
First weekend in March, yes. And then it'll be running for 2 weekends, 3 shows per weekend. JJL2's doing Bat Boy.
Bat Boy the musical. You know, a lot of people probably aren't familiar with it. It did open in 1997, so it's been around, and it's based on the 1992 tabloid of the Bat Boy who grew up in a cave. He gets reintroduced into society. Mayhem ensues. It's a rock musical. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I love it. And have you already cast that? Are there auditions coming up or have you cast that already?
Oh, Boston, what kind of information are you trying to get out of us?
You don't have to tell me who's in it. I just want to know if they have auditions coming up or no.
The production has mostly been cast at this point. You should be able to expect more publicly a cast list coming out pretty soon.
Yes, and this is where we follow Juno Ghostlight's very well-versed in the socials. So why don't we shout those out too? Give us the socials that you all are on.
Yeah, well, the JGLT president, Hedy Laverne, she is our social media guru right now. So if you see any of like the themed social media posts on Instagram at Juno Ghostlight Theater or Facebook Juno Ghostlight Theater. That is all because of her. She's excellent at that. We also, our website, junoghostlight.com. You can find information on our events there as well.
Awesome. That is so good. And so any more about this cabaret that we want to know? What else should we know about this going into Saturday night? What do I need to prep? How do I need to prep myself?
I would really like to highlight kind of the collaborative nature that's gone into this cabaret because I think it has been really different from not just stuff we've done in the past, but a lot of the similar style kind of musical review sort of things we see in Juno is we have so many partnerships and group numbers and duets and stuff happening throughout the course of this. Richard and I are singing a duet, Come Hear Us, which is going to be really exciting. It's given us an opportunity to work cooperatively and kind of grow individually as artists. And I think that's something that's going to be really special. Obviously, Crystal Saloon also just has a wonderful ambiance, great drinks. I think it'll be kind of a fun collaborative with the audience sort of event as well. We have some fun little tricks up our sleeves of ways to help people kind of be engaged in what we have going on. So if you have a certain wish in mind, perhaps, or a time that you have been graced by luck, feel free to bring that to the stage and maybe we can incorporate it into our show a little bit.
I see.
Wink, wink.
A little hint of what to think about before we show up.
But also
Saturday.
No forceful audience participation. Yeah, we're happy to have you. But
Juno's such a small, tight-knit community. We just think, like, why not at a cabaret have the audience have some sort of participation.
Well, Juno Ghostlight always does interesting things. I remember when you did the mixed cast and you had where people could sing songs that maybe they would never get an opportunity to sing, and just giving the floor to people to be able to explore this. And this time it's a theme of love and longing and dreaming and wishes. And that's just really cool. And it is coming into the season where we're all going to get warm and fuzzy as it gets cold outside. So this seems like a perfect opportunity to kind of get that sort of motion and emotion in our bodies going. So that's really cool. I love
that. And this event has kind of spurred in me to look into, like, what is the origin of wishing? Like, where does that come from? What are wishing wells? Why is that important to us? And it's really just kind of fascinating to think about, like, the idea of a wish. So hopefully people come out and spend their evening with us and
absolutely
put their wishes out into the universe.
Give us the details one more time and where we can get tickets and all that stuff.
You can find tickets on the Crystal Saloon's website on their events page. You can also find them on Juno Ghostlight Theater's Facebook page and our website, junoghostlight.com. This is on 11/11, November 11th, Saturday, two shows, 7:30 and 10 p.m.
You also can purchase tickets at the door, provided we don't sell out. So we hope to see you there, but there's no price reduction for purchasing at the door. So we do recommend that you get your tickets in advance.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, Richard and Wendy, thanks so much and for coming in and telling us all about this. And as we say, break a leg on Saturday night.
Thank you for having us, Boston.
Of course.
Thank you. We wish you the best.
Yes.
Wish you the best.
Wish. Got to think about that for Saturday. And of course, you can go to junoghostlight.com for all information about upcoming productions and anything else that they might be doing, and follow them on the socials. This is Juno Afternoon from KTO. We'll be right back.
This is Bird Note. Hear that call echoing through the trees? Sounds like a bird of prey, right? And it's nighttime. It's an owl. The striped owl, to be exact. Clam eater, the species name in Latin, means yeller. And yes, you guessed it. This owl has a distinctive striped pattern. Our striped hunter makes quite a fashion statement. Along with the stripes goes a pair of large ear tufts that for a second might look like a cat's. The face is a creamy disc, rimmed with black, almost like a mask. But when it comes to nesting, striped owls like to keep it simple. A hollow in a tree, an abandoned woodpecker hole, or even a cozy nook in a dense vine are perfect accommodations for these fashionistas. No need to bother with building intricate nests. Striped owls are known for their diverse vocalizations. Their repertoire includes deep hoots, eerie screeches, and a range of calls that help give an otherworldly ambience to tropical rainforests from southern Mexico all the way to Argentina. Despite their eeriness, in many local cultures, striped owls are believed to bring luck to those who encounter them. So consider yourself lucky if you spot one. For Bird Note, I'm Lucina Melesio.
Running fast when I should have been going slow. Open doors to places I shouldn't go. You are there next to me. Buttons that I should never touch, grabbing things that I should never clutch. When you are there next to me, and I hope you feel it too. I just want to be with you. See you every day, don't you ever go away.
You are listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Akwan. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That was Daniel Furman with Next to Me. And tomorrow night, Wednesday, November 8th at 8 p.m. at the Crystal Saloon, a wonderful collection of storytellers, musicians, and poets are gathering for a project called Displaced, talking about diaspora, displacement, and identity. Joining me now in studio are two of these amazing artists, Gunzchish Hatye Adi. And I would love to start with each of you saying hello and give us your name and a little bit about your work, and then we'll talk about this event. So, Daniel, why don't you go first? Since we just heard your song, let's have you go first.
Hello. I'm Daniel. I'm from Fort Yukon, Alaska, and I'm living here now, so it's a good place to be, and I appreciate everyone here, Masi Cho, for letting me on your land.
Awesome.
I appreciate it. So,
hi, I'm Sonia Kumar. I am from Colorado, but I've lived in various parts of Alaska for the last, I think, 11-ish years now, and thanks for having me on the show today. I'm super stoked.
That's awesome. It's so great to have you both here. So let's talk about this event and how it came about and who's involved. So let's talk about first, like, where did this idea come from? I know Trip was involved.
Definitely.
And a catalyst, right? And so is that where the idea...
Fulcrum.
Now, so how did it start?
The catalyst was Kat Moore. She told me this story about... Akramides finding displacement, and we, at this time, her and I were writing a lot of stuff, working back and forth, like just kind of pushing back and forth on each other to be like, you need to write more, like let's finish something, let's keep making something, you know, like making poems, making music, whatever it is. And that we talked about it at one night, and the next day it was like her poem was like pretty straightforward about displacement. Mm-hmm. And mine was just about being between two different places. For me at that time, I was definitely like questioning like my racial identity, because it's like I look white. I am Native. I grew up Native. My dad's white. He's more Native than I am, is what I tell people sometimes. Like he's... been the person that's always pushed for us to know the names of places, like the proper names, and like what happened there, and like this is where this happened. And I think the craziest thing he's ever done in that sense was take us out to this like spot in Chugiak where there used to be a boarding school. And he was like Mac Dolchuk, who used to be the preacher in Fort Yukon. I should stop calling it that. It's Gwichaje. That's the proper name. He took us out there and he was like, Mac Dolchuk was in between the gym and the school, and he just saw a chance and he just booked it. Mm. And started running down the railroad tracks, because it was like he didn't want to go back to the boarding school. He just wanted to go. And then at a certain point, they're running towards Wasilla at this point. So... not insanely far away, but when you're in like a sweaty t-shirt, that's pretty far away. So, Mac ended up running back to the school and nobody noticed, so he didn't get punished. So, but like it's things like that that I want to talk about, like the feeling like you're not accepted in either side, you know, like I'm too Native for the white and I'm too white for the Native. That's where my poem came from. So, mm-hmm. But it doesn't have to be about race. You know, there's other things that like, there are a lot of things we could talk about, like religion and gender identity and like just not feeling like you fit right into this whole or showing up at a place where you think I'm accepted and you realize you're not. Mm. Like, or you're like, I'm very uncomfortable.
Right. And
so.
Having sort of that sense of like where, I guess it's sort of like, I mean, you call it diaspora displacement and identity as the sort of subtitle, right? And but it is like looking for, like you're saying, like, where do I fit? How do I fit into this place? And or how do I find my own self inside all of this that is going on in my world, right? You're saying from, you know, you have both backgrounds, and how do you balance that, or how do you find the way through that? And sort of, and it sounds like you're exploring that through, you know, your poetry or your music, and, you know, pushed on by your friend Kat to mm-hmm. keep pushing yourself to explore these themes, right? I mean, that seems like a good thing to do. So this idea then sort of popped in to invite others to do the same thing. And that's how we get to the 8 performers tomorrow.
Yeah. Definitely that. And I, the only thing I would say is like the strong differences is like, what were my ideas of like, just feeling like very strongly like in this direction and very strongly in this direction, and like, how do I make these worlds collide?
Yeah. How do I bring them together? How do I fit in? How do I find my way through that? Right. Like, how do I manage them? Like, I'm not marry them, but like sort of be able to put them together.
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, when I'm with my parents, it's like, you can look at, there's a photo of my mom and my dad and I'm in the middle, and you can just see like white turn to native, like,
oh, like the color scale.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Like, it's just,
oh, that's so interesting.
So it's trying to figure out how to like, where do I belong? You know, yeah. That's kind of the conversation that I want to evoke with people and encourage people to do it. And then there's like multiple other entities of people feeling displaced, and I would like to talk, like, I would like people to address that, and I really would like to have more I'd like to get like Howie Echo Hawk up here to talk about it, because I feel like Howie would just destroy it. I mean, that's kind of a goal I have. Howie doesn't even know it, but I'm like, like, I'm literally like trying to book a tour for Howie to come back to Alaska, go up to, all the way up to Fairbanks. And I just want people like in Fairbanks to have this conversation.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
I got to stop talking though. I'll just go forever.
No, you can. Absolutely. Well, Sonia, let's turn to you. Let's say, so you were invited to be a part of this. And how does it fit in for you? How does this work for you?
Yeah. Trip reached out to me a few months ago, I guess maybe more like August or July, and told me about the concept of the performance that they were trying to put on, or that they were planning on putting on. And I was super stoked about it. I was in another show that Trip did during Folk Fest, so I was really excited to work with them again. The timing was actually really good, because I went to India in August, and then I had a lot of time to sort of think about what those topics meant, displacement, identity, and diaspora, like being in the homeland of my parents. I'm Indian American. Both of my parents were born and raised in India and moved to the United States after they had an arranged marriage. And so it was a really great place for me to sort of reconnect and think about a lot of those topics. And I was in India in December as well. But prior to that, I hadn't been back for 10 years. So it was really great to think about that and to explore my feelings around that, because, I mean, as an Indian American in the United States, there's a lot of us for sure, but there's really not a lot of us here in Alaska. And when I was growing up in Colorado, my sister and I were one of like 4 Indians in our high school. So I have a lot of thoughts and feelings about displacement for sure. Especially, you know, with some of the stereotypical things people say about Indian people. And so it was, I am actually still, I'm sort of ashamed to say that I'm still writing my story. It's been, to be honest, I've been putting it on the back burner because it brings up a lot of really complicated feelings for me. And it kind of brings up some dark feelings in me as well. I started writing this a couple of days ago, and it is more of a happy than dark story, I think. So that's maybe good and bad. I don't know. But it's been really cool to explore this. And I have to say, Kat Moore is also one of my best friends, too. And I had no idea that she played a part in the facilitation of this show. And it's funny because Kat is always also trying to get me to, like, perform and do stuff. And I don't know, I'm a grad student, so I'm just busy all the time. And it's been really nice to make space to not only think about these topics, but also actually get them down on paper and not just sort of have them like bounce around in my fishbowl brain.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I feel like this is a great sort of, I know you'd mentioned Unseated, which was the performance that they did during Folk Fest week. And that was an awesome opportunity. And this seems like a great sort of movement forward out of that, because now it's sort of set up. We just had Mudrooms on the show earlier today talking about Mudrooms. And it seems like it's a little bit like that format, because you're all going to be telling a story, but then you also might be doing poetry or music with that story that you're going to be telling, right? Is that how the sort of the format of the night is going to go?
That's what I would like. Yeah. I liked just that format of storytelling that we did before. Mm-hmm. Like it was like an open mic,
yeah,
for storytelling. Like you just kind of feed off of what's going on around you.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're doing stand-up comedy, but you're telling a story, and you end up doing that thing where you, like, you're telling a story, you move on to another story. Like my story dialogue was, it started with, I just had bullet notes. That's all I did.
Mm.
Just bullet notes of, like, this is what the story's going to be. And it's like breaking bottles at the dump.
Mm.
And then for a joke, I was like breaking bottles at the dump. And I'm just talking about where I grew up.
You know? Right,
like,
right.
And like, you just kind of keep going with it, with like catching myself on fire, which was breaking a bottle at the dump. I'm not going to say what was in that bottle, but it was flammable.
Sounds like it. So let's talk about, you're both performing. Who else is on the docket for tomorrow?
Oh, who's all on the docket here?
Yeah, because I think is it eight performers, right?
Yeah. Let's see.
I think it's actually seven now.
Seven.
It's
okay.
Seven now. One person had to step out, unfortunately. But we have myself, Trip, Sonia as well. I don't know all the names of these people.
Lisa, like, Denny is performing. Nami, who I believe still owns the Kindred Post, is playing.
Yeah.
Is performing. Ernestine Hayes is also going to be performing. We're sharing a story. And one of my really good friends, Matt, is coming down from Anchorage as well. So I'm really super stoked about them. And I believe that's it. I think that was seven.
I think that was right.
Yeah. I think you got it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's amazing. And it's like, it's all, so, and I think we talked about this when we had folks on for Unseated, but we were talking about sort of the value and the importance of having space, right? Creating space for artists of color to perform and to explore. And this seems like some interesting topics that are going to be explored in terms of displacement, diaspora, identity, and all the things that we've talked about so far in terms of how that sort of manifests itself or comes out, right? So like the idea that it's, and I guess I'm trying to ask the question of the importance of that in terms of making the space for this sort of art form. How valuable is that to you to be able to have that opportunity?
It's super valuable for me. I mean, Unseated was such a wonderful night for me. There were so many amazing performances. The Alaskan was absolutely packed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like at the end of the night, I remember, I think Kachung was like one of the last performers, and like Lisa, Lester, and I think maybe you, Daniel, too, we were all just kind of like sitting on the floor next to the speaker. And it was just, it felt like we were put into this little family unit for the night. And I loved it so much. And I came away with my heart so full. And I'm really stoked about the lineup for Displaced too. I mean, I have really admired a lot of the people that will be sharing stories. And I'm excited to kind of have an excuse to get to go up and talk to them now about something that we have in common. So it really means a lot to me. And I'm so thrilled that Daniel and Tripp have put this show on, and I can't wait for the next one.
I think it's awesome. And I think, Sonia, you mentioned that you might have something you could read.
Oh, yeah.
A little preview of tomorrow.
Well, I wouldn't say this is a preview of tomorrow. this is a poem I wrote back in January.
Okay.
I don't know. I periodically leave Juno to go do field work in other parts of the state. And I wrote this poem. And it's sort of like Displacement. Let's call it Displacement, but not really. I think it's just called Juno. It feels good to be back among these trees as I weave, dodging puddles, finding elevated rocks among the debris. Futilely, I dive to keep my shoes dry, crunching on old snow, hoping my foot doesn't find a hole below. And yet, I break through the thin crust, not warm and gooey like pizza, cold and wet, melted snow seeping through my shoes, forest tears kissing my toes, making me promise that I'll come back, that hopefully I'll find the right path.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's great. Wow. And what was the, did that just, was that something that came to you after you came back? Like it was something that you felt like you needed to get out?
Well, I was gone for like 9 months doing some really hard field work. And Juno, turns out, is one of my most favorite places in the world. And I love coming back, and I like to write poetry in the woods when I'm walking my dog. So it was it must have been a very cold, wet, snowy day. I don't know. It's really nice to find a good headspace in the woods to write about the place that you love being in.
I love it. Sonia, Daniel, thank you so much, Gwyneth Cheese, for being here. It's tomorrow night. It's Wednesday, November 8th at 8 p.m. at the Crystal Saloon. It's Displaced, and it's going to be seven folks talking about diaspora, displacement, and identity. And there is no cover, right? But then maybe there'll be some donation by donation. Yeah, absolutely. And so get yourself over to the Crystal Saloon tomorrow night and hear these impactful stories and poems and music and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Thanks for
having
us.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Must be chill.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much. Good cheese. Okay. That'll do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, we'll take a look ahead at Juno Community Band's upcoming holiday concert, the Juno Audubon Society's Thursday talk on bats in winter, and the cruise industry is the subject of this Friday's evening at Egan and will be accompanied by a documentary film entitled Cruise Boom, which is showing in Juno this weekend. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, host and producer of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Thanks, and have a glorious Juno evening.